What's up, guys? Welcome back to Commute and Compute. I'm Contra. This is episode 28. And today I want to talk about, I think pulling back one of the biggest curtains or oldest tricks in the book, and it's essentially using the world's crisis or crises to ratchet up government power. And every time there is a crisis, whether it's real or manufactured, governments grow. It's not a bug, it's a feature of the system. Wars, pandemics, financial collapses, terror attacks, energy shortages. These types of events are the lifeblood of state expansion. And I guess you have to ask the question, why? And because emergencies, I think, they justify suspending the norms. They convince people to trade liberty for a false sense of security. And when the dust settles, the government never gives that power back, of course. The ratchet only turns one way, and that's tighter. So let's talk about the crisis playbook that these governments use. Because governments, they need these crises the way fire needs oxygen. When the people are scared, they stop asking questions. They welcome control. Look at, say, 9/11. Overnight, the Patriot Act gutted privacy, and mass surveillance became normalized. Think about COVID. Entire economies shut down by decree. Small businesses were destroyed. And then censorship ramped up exponentially. Citizens were conditioned to accept these mandates almost as a moral duty. And even financial crises, became opportunities for governments to consolidate power. 2008's, the bailouts, they didn't punish irresponsible bankers. They punished savers and rewarded cronies, essentially. And this is the crisis playbook. One, provoke or exploit an emergency. Two, offer a sweeping solution. Then three, expand powers to, quote-unquote, solve it. And then four, of course, never fully relinquish those powers. And the government essentially becomes the ultimate gatekeeper. And all roads lead back to government because it is the granddaddy of gatekeepers. Google or, say, Visa can cancel your account. But who gave them power? Who protects their monopolies? Who writes laws that entrench them? The state enforces and legitimizes every major gatekeeper, whether it's big tech, big pharma, central banks. Remove the state's favor and these institutions collapse under the weight of real competition. And that is why the illusion of choice in democratic systems so often leads to the same outcomes. More bureaucracy, more taxes, more restrictions, which naturally leads to less accountability. And then let's talk about, fiat, compliance, and control. Government control doesn't just come through laws. It comes through the money itself. That's why people say, follow the money. Because fiat currency is the perfect compliance tool. It can be printed to devalue your savings. It can be frozen to punish dissent. It forces you to store your labor in a system that you don't control. So when crises hit, fiat printing accelerates. governments call it, you know, stimulus or emergency measures. But it's truly theft, really, in slow motion. Stealing purchasing power from everyone who holds that currency. And let's talk examples. Let's start with, you know, the Reichstag fire in 1933 even. That let Hitler suspend constitutional rights. The Gulf of Tonkin, which was an incident back in the mid-60s that got America deep into Vietnam. The 2008 crash led to TARP and QE and the largest upward transfer of wealth in history. Then more recently, we have the COVID pandemic, which saw trillions of money being printed. And then surveillance was normalized and basic freedoms were restricted on a global scale. And in every case, every one of these cases, fear gave the state a blank check. So how do we reclaim our freedoms when this happens or as this continues to happen? It's easy to feel powerless, but you're not. And I want to offer you some real suggestions on how you can do that today. And one, I'm just going to say it, to opt out of the fiat money. Bitcoin, gold, or other hard assets limit your exposure to this currency debasement. And I'm going to go with Bitcoin as number one all day. And then two, you know, decentralize your life. Grow your own food if you can. Build local relationships. You have to start depending less on systems that can be shut off. And then three, and we've talked about it here, and that's educating your family. Homeschooling. Teaching your kids, you know, real history. Not the sanitized state version that they propagate in public school. You know, critical thinking in this manner is a true shield against this type of propaganda. And then next, I'd suggest, you know, supporting parallel systems. Use privacy tech. Use decentralized platforms and alternative economies. And then five, I think, is just awareness, staying vigilant. Recognize these signs of manufactured crises and speak out early. Because silence is surrender. And then naturally there's a psychological war that happens. Governments don't just use crises. They weaponize psychology. The constant stream of fear, whether it be terror or pandemics or even stupid climate panic, you know, these things keep people reactive, not proactive. They want you focused on survival, not sovereignty. And your biggest act of defiance is to live with clarity, not fear. And then there's the community aspect of it. No one wins this fight alone. A sovereign individual surrounded by dependents is still vulnerable, I think. That's why you need community. People who share your values and will essentially stand with you when things get rough and these things start happening. You know, start simple. You know, just host a dinner with your neighbors, a potluck, with like-minded people, obviously. Trade skills and, you know, favor the locals. You know, for homeschooling, you know, you have all these co-op groups. You know, over time, these bonds become your real insurance policy against a system that wants you isolated and essentially obedient. And then, you know, I brought it up earlier. Why does government power always ratchet up? And tighten. It never loosens. Why? Because the government doesn't produce, it consumes. It incentivizes, or I should say, it its incentives are to survive and grow. Every new department, new agency, or program creates a constituency that lobbies to keep it funded. Even if you replace politicians, the bureaucracy still persists. Like a hydra. It regrows heads. That's why the only sustainable solution is to reduce dependency altogether. And I think in ending this, I want to end it with a little bit of hope and maybe a call to action or to put some things into action. And that's, don't let, today's news cycle make you cynical. Yeah, I know, governments will keep trying to expand their power, but every individual who chooses sovereignty over servitude, chips away little by little at their control. And that starts to build fear in them. And that's what we want. Start by reclaiming your mind and then your money and then your means of living. Because freedom isn't a political promise. It's a personal responsibility by each and every one of us. Thanks for listening. If you found this valuable, share it with somebody. Give me a like, follow my channel, go over to Noster, download that app, get on it. Decentralized social media. You won't regret it. The sats, the Bitcoin flies around from some of the greatest minds I know. I'm Contra. Stay sharp. Stay free. And I'll see you next time. I'm out.